Welcome back into the Bun Sports Show. It is Monday. We are set to roll on another week. Plenty of college football news upcoming on this week as we get started. But first, we're going to be joined by a guest to talk about what else, but what is the main sports story of the day, and that, of course, is the Olympics taking place in London, England. Well, we're joined now by Bob Lojano, and he's been with us in the past. He, of course, is a Paralympic medalist for the 2004 games, am I correct, 2004?
Correct, yes, Athens, Greece.
For playing wheelchair rugby. And Bob, you've been around the Olympics before, in the Paralympics, you've been around it for years, training, no Olympic and Paralympic athletes. What is it like to be an Olympian?
Well, to be a Paralympic athlete, we're all familiar with Michael Phelps, and, you know, our commitment is really no different than his. The objective is to, train as much as you can. It's really a lifestyle commitment of really mind, body, and soul. And, for myself, I started playing wheelchair rugby in 1995. It wasn't until 1998 that I was invited into a U.S. Tryout camp. And it was at that time, it was for the World Championship Games in 1998. Back then, you kind of paid. You paid your own way. You paid your flight over, your hotel stay. Of course, all your equipment. It seems like every guy that played wheelchair rugby was there. You hoped and prayed to make the team. It seemed like it was only like a 3-day event. Where you got to try out, and hopefully they liked what you liked, and they liked you, and you liked them. For 98, of course, I was very young, so I didn't make the team. But then that got me into the U.S. program, and I went to New Zealand in 99 for the World Wheelchair Games, which we won gold. That put me, I guess, in the running for the U.S. rugby team, Paralympic team, to go to Sydney. And went to the very last day, and was cut on the last day. A little bit painful.
Sure. Deal with,
but I understand. Sometimes, you have a lot of experience. I didn't at that time. It was really kind of my new introduction into the world of elite level rugby. But it's what inspired me and gave me the motivation to realize this is serious. This isn't just, hey, Bob, you're in a wheelchair, come on out and play. This was a serious commitment. So from that time on, from 1999, I've mind, body, and soul of what I ate and how I conducted myself and how I acted on and off the court. It was very much geared to being a serious athlete. And sure enough, it paid off. 2002, again, made the tryout for the World Championship team. Was selected to the World Championship team. We went to Sweden, and we won the silver medal. We were supposed to win gold, but lost to our rival, the Canadians. And, again, that kept me into the program. Usually when you make the World Championship team, you're kind of automatically selected for the Paralympic team. But again, each year, the U.S. program, wheelchair rugby program, became more and more serious, more and more competitive, more and more elite. So when they were preparing for the 2004 rugby team to go to Athens, Greece, it seems like every year they would open up for anyone to come try out. So it didn't matter that I made the 2002 rugby team, World Championship team. 2003 came around. It's like, all right, Bob, you were one of 12 guys, but guess what? We're going to open up your spot again to the 300 athletes that play wheelchair rugby. Good luck. I hope you can make it. And sure enough, I did. I earned my spot for 2003. And 2004 came around again, had to earn my spot. And then they actually have a tryout for the 2004 team. And again, I made the cut for that and went to Athens. Again, we were the number one team, expected to win gold, and we win silver. We win bronze, won bronze 2004, Athens, Greece. But again, the commitment level at that time was really an all-time precedent. Had to document my workouts, had to meet with a personal trainer, had to meet with a nutritionist, got to meet with a sports psychologist, of course, had to submit to any random drug testing, and any time they could show up and knock on my door or knock on my work door And I had to be there. Mm-hmm. I had to let them know where I was at. If I went on vacation somewhere, I had to let them know I was gone to Texas to visit family. If I didn't let them know that, and they arrived at work and at my house, and I wasn't there, strike one, three strikes, and you're out. Thank you for playing. And then it goes on even further, where you had to sign a code of conduct. You're not going to read about me being arrested for, you know, being drunk and disorderly in a bar. You're not going to find illicit pictures of me on the internet. Again, these things will warrant you to be dismissed from the team. And that's how it should be. You know, it should be a high elite level competitive sport. There needs to be a high elite level of commitment, and I'm all for it. So I definitely made a 180 of my life as far as narrow-minded, narrow focus, training, working out, made it a lifestyle. And you know, even though my time on the U.S. team ended in 2007, it 5 years later, I'm still working out two or three times a week. I'm still cognizant of my diet. You know, I actually, you know, from time to time, will reach out and contact the sports psychologist I know of. You know, these are just things that, you know, that have been ingrained in me as an athlete. And even though I may not be elite level anymore, I do play for the U.S. For the Lakeshore rugby team. I still want to uphold my, you know, Paralympic status. You know, once a Paralympian, always a Paralympian. So when I roll out there on the rugby court, even though I'm playing for Lakeshore Demolition, you know, I want to be the best athlete I can be. I don't want to show up, you know, 10 pounds overweight and out of shape and huffing and puffing, you know, after two or three pushes up and down the court. You know, I don't want anyone to look around and say, you know, isn't that Bob that was bronze medalist, Paralympic team? God, he looks terrible, you know. Is it time for the senior division for him, you know? So again, you know, my, I guess there's actually, you know, pride involved in this. That I definitely want to adhere to being the best athlete I can be. And, you know, when you make a commitment to a team, it doesn't matter if it's elite level Olympic rugby, Paralympic rugby, if it's just, you know, the local guy down the court, down the street, you know, you want to adhere to just, you know, the highest standard of commitment to athletic, you know, success.
Well, we're chatting with Bob Lojano, who is a Paralympic medalist, 2004 Paralympic Games in Athens, Greece. Bronze medal was given to his wheelchair rugby team. Bob, a quick question about the, we, of course, as spectators, watch the Olympics and Paralympics, and we wonder about the experience. What is the most significant thing that stood out to you while you were playing in the games or at the games? What just stood out to you and said, wow, I can't believe I'm here and doing this?
Well, it was definitely the crowd. You know, like I said, I play for the Lakeshore Demolition team, the Lakeshore Foundation team. And, you know, we'll go to tournaments in New York and L.A. and Florida and even have our own here in Birmingham, Alabama. And, you know, we'll get a good crowd, you know, 75, 80 people. You know, a lot of them are family and friends. But you go to Athens, Greece, or Sydney, Australia, you know, Beijing, China, and London, England, it's going to be, you know, 5,000 to 6,000. As a matter of fact, in Sydney, Australia, it was 10,000.
Wow.
Which I believe is the biggest crowd to ever spectate and view a wheelchair rugby tournament or match. So, you know, once you see that, it's, you know, it's like, wow, that does hit you. You know, this is big. And then, you know, it is the Paralympics. It's the elite level. It's the best of the best. It's, you know, the cream de la creme. It's our Super Bowl. It's our World Series, you know, and, you know, it's our Iron Bowl, you know.
Sure.
So, you know, the bottom line is it's, you know, this is serious, and, you know, you trained your tail off to get here. You know, they didn't give you the spot. You earned it. And same thing with the medal. You know, you earned, we earned the bronze medal. You know, they didn't give it to us. There was no fluke play or something in the officiating, or it was, you earn what you get. And yeah, it's been great to have won gold, but you know, we won bronze, and I'm very thankful. You know, there were 300 on the U.S. team in 2004. There were 300 U.S. athletes, and only 88 of us came home with medals. And I'm very thankful to God that I was one of them. Like I said, you know, 7 years in the U.S. you know, wheelchair rugby program. I, you know, definitely very thankful. I have a silver medal from World Championship and a bronze medal from Paralympic Games in Athens, Greece. Never worked so hard in my whole life. You know, and again, the time I put into it even though I've not played, in Paralympic Games in almost, I guess, 8 years, it's those lessons that I learned are going to carry with me the rest of my life. The importance of healthy, active lifestyle, the mindset of being an athlete and always wanting to play rugby at the highest level, that's always going to be with me. And so, again, just thankful to be a part of it and have that experience.
Do you watch the games differently, the Olympic and Paralympic Games, being an athlete, having been there, done that? Do you view the Olympic experience a little differently now than you did before you started participating?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's because I can relate to the athletes. I can relate to the nervousness. Relate to the, there are some behind-the-scenes things that people may not be aware of, and that is, like for opening ceremonies, when they stage you to line you up, there was, almost over 100, teams or countries from around the world that are there, over, 2,000 athletes. So lining up is, not going to be like lining up for a ticket to go to a movie. You're there, 3.5 hours waiting in line, and with us being in the United States, we're usually near the end. So, so you're waiting for 3.5 hours to get lined up, and then the actual procession begins, and, that could be another hour and a half before they get to you. So, again, you're there pretty much a good bulk of the day, kind of sitting and waiting, and, they line you up, and it's kind of funny because they line you up. You're going to be here, you're sitting next to this person, and you're with that person, so stay there. I'm going to stay here for 3.5-4 hours? No, I'm not. Hey, there's my buddies over there. Hey, guys,
right.
Excuse me, you mind switching with me? So, it's like that's kind of what goes on behind the scenes. You end up, going in with the people you want to proceed in with. So again, it's those are kind of the behind the scene things that go on. But yeah, definitely can relate to that nervousness, the excitement, realizing that this event is for you. You're the entertainment. You're the main show. You're the Elvis. You're the Michael Jackson. You're the guy who's going to go on stage. So you just can't bring your B game or your A minus game. So again, it's just something that I can relate to definitely what those athletes are feeling and thinking as they proceed.
Well, that is certainly fascinating, and I hate that we had to cut the conversation short. We only have a few minutes, but love to rejoin it at some point and continue talking about it. But I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about what you do. Of course, you work at the Lakeshore Foundation in Homewood, Alabama. And talk a little bit about your job now and what you're involved with.
Okay, yes, I was a recreation specialist for 14 years at Lakeshore Foundation. I got to work with kids, adults, seniors, and veterans with physical disabilities and chronic health conditions and helped establish recreation programs. But recently, I was moved to a different department. We call it NICPAD, the National Center of Health Promotion, Physical Activity, and Disability. And I'm an information specialist, and the objective there is we're wanting to make Lakeshore Foundation kind of like the National Resource Center of America for people with physical disabilities. So there's an 800 number, 800-900-8086, and this is a nationwide number. So I'll get calls from people who are just wanting to know, hey, Bob, I live in Cleveland, Ohio. I just broke my chair. Where do I go to get a new wheelchair? Or, hi, Bob, I live in Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii. I would like to have a therapist come to my house. I just recently injured my back. How do I get a hold of one? So my job is to get them that information and the resources, and that kind of helps, I guess, serving a different type of population, but yet still providing service. And it's just the beginning. What I'm doing now is just kind of scratching the surface. The objective for me is to kind of find as much database information, update the database information, so whenever I do get the calls, we have that information already on file. I'm on the computer a lot. And again, we're just really, what I'm doing now is just kind of scratching the surface, as we really have a bigger objective of really trying to, unite all the healthcare agencies in our area as well as our state, just so we can work together and have a better awareness of each other and help move forward in providing services and resources for people with physical disabilities.
Well, it's certainly important work, and Bob, again, thanks for being with us. Thanks for sharing some of your experiences with us, as you've done before, and hope to talk again soon.
Definitely. Thank you very much, Jacob, and continued success, and may God bless you and all your family and all the things you're doing. And anytime you want to talk, just feel free to reach out.
Thanks very much, Bob.
All right, thank you.
Great conversation with Bob Lojano, Paralympic medalist, 2004 Paralympic Games in Athens, Greece. Always good to talk to him. We've talked to him once before, but of course, with his insight and the Olympics ongoing, it was a needed subject to address, and we did so. There are some college football headlines that we will be getting into later in the week. Of course, David Sears will be here on Friday. You can keep it at the website all week long. We'll have more previews and probably some more news coming out as well, so you don't want to miss that. But this is the Monday edition of the Bun Sports Show on bunsports.com. Less than 5 weeks away from college football season. The countdown is on. We'll be here before you know it.